Welcome to BEN,
Blockchain Education Network,
the largest and longest running network of students, alumni, and professors excited about blockchain across the world. A podcast for students by students, sharing their vision that anyone, regardless of wherever they are in the world, will be able to use blockchain as a vehicle to create wealth for themselves and their communities. This is BEN,
the Blockchain Education Network.
All right, so welcome everybody. It's 2 o'clock, so we're at the top of the hour. Let's kick this room off, and then if everybody wants to join, we'll let the audience filter in as we continue. So again, thank you all for joining. Today's topic is, what is the metaverse? And of course, this has been a trending topic as of recent, you know, and basically we want to understand what exactly is this new nascent economy that people will start interacting in, right, which is now the metaverse. And kind of before we dive into this new term, we have to backtrack a little bit and touch on what exactly are NFTs and how does this new technology or this new asset, if you will, empower people to be their own and act as their own self-sovereign individual in some way, shape, or form, right? So for those who are unaware of what an NFT is, it's a non-fungible token, right? The traditional standard for a non-fungible token is the ERC-721 standard, right? And what the ERC-721 standard defines is basically, it's a non-fungible asset, non-fungible meaning that it cannot be traded one for one for something else or for another value, right? Oh, I see there's a couple of my team members here. Eric and Antonio have joined the room. Let me bring them on stage. So, yeah, that's basically what the origins of the NFT stems from, is this ERC-721 standard. And there are other standards as well, but that is in a traditional sense, that is where it stems from. And then we branched off into this incredible new world that we're seeing today as the metaverse. Some of you, if you read Snow Crash, you're familiar with their definition, which is basically this 3D virtual reality space that's accessible through these personal terminals, right? And these virtual reality goggles that you could put on and just see this new space, kind of like Ready Player One, right? Or if some of you have used like Oculus Quest, you're really familiar with that environment. And that's exactly what we're heading towards. So basically, the metaverse is just an extension of the physical realm, and it enables people to, I guess, unlock new potential that they haven't been able to use here in the physical realm at the moment, right? So you could extend your working environment. We're seeing it in Decentraland. We're seeing it in Sandbox. We're seeing it even in a 2D format over in Gathertown. That is another form of the metaverse, right? And we're seeing whole teams migrating from physical working spaces over to these digital landscapes, and they're hosting workshops or hosting even get-togethers. People aren't even physically hanging out in person anymore. They're going to virtual theaters to watch a movie or even game together, you know? So I think it's very interesting turn of events that we're seeing. And of course, as we're seeing the estimates, it's almost a $1 trillion value to market, right? So, with that said, I want to extend this invitation to anybody in the audience that wants to come on stage and give your comments or ideas of where we're heading towards with the metaverse and some untapped potential that it has that we haven't even unlocked yet. And please send a request and I'll bring you on stage. To kind of keep the idea flowing, what was pretty interesting is we have a request.
Hello.
Hey, Shadi.
Hey, so I think the metaverse is going to change the world like greatly, especially for businesses and connecting people globally. It'll definitely connect us and allow like larger interactions in the virtual space, especially for students. And I like how Ben is definitely reaching out the student college population and educating them. And I think having like that connection through the metaverse, people can learn how to communicate digitally, e-learning, transforming the industry in a different way that's much larger than like gaming digitally. And I like seeing how bigger companies are taking the initiative to like participate in this new opportunity. But I do see the gray area where the older generations are going to miss out in this new opportunity because of lack of understanding. So there is a barrier of entry. And I think that's my question. Like, I think the younger generation is definitely going to understand how to adapt to this new style of work and life. But what's going to happen to the older people? How are they going to adapt? How are jobs going to change, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think we kind of saw that thanks to the pandemic, right? It was already difficult for them to get a grasp of Zoom calling, right? Getting on these virtual conference calls and staying on these digital or these virtual calls for long lengths at a time when they were just so accustomed to meeting in person or going to a physical workplace and discussing amongst our colleagues what needs to get done, right? So that, in a sense, that transition to just a synchronous environment was really difficult. And funny enough, that's exactly what the metaverse is offering, is this synchronous property that allows all of us to meet at a particular virtual place and say, hey, let's get to work, right? Instead of me sending a Google invite or a Zoom invite to you and or my colleagues so we could discuss a particular work matter, right? To the same topic, it makes things a lot more interoperable, right? We're no longer limited to an asynchronous location. Now we could be anywhere in the world, and we could work on multiple platforms instead of one designated, limited landscape, right, or working environment. So I think that's pretty cool. And then in the same note, it's massively scalable, right? I mean, now we're gonna see. For instance, Facebook just rebranded into Meta for other reasons. I don't think that they're trying to really play to the same song as what we are in the metaverse, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt and think that they are. They have their own working environments, and we're going to see Google, we're going to see Microsoft, even the gaming industry as a whole start adopting the metaverse as a means to bring in a new audience and start targeting a much larger user base than they had before, right? A good example is like, I believe Ubisoft has their Quartz initiative where they're bringing the metaverse into gaming, where you could actually earn an NFT, hold it, and then sell it on a second marketplace, similar to how we have it with OpenSeas, Super Rare, etc., for those who are familiar with those marketplaces. And eventually that's going to be the standard, same way how NFTs are gradually becoming this new status standard for those who want to join an organization or want to join a club or a group of people. They hold these NFTs as a sense of, I guess, yeah, like status, right? Same way how we hold luxury brands like Louis Vuitton, Hermes, all these different brands to say, hey, I am of this type of status. So it's a lot of different avenues that we're going to see moving forward, but it's going to be pretty cool. So to kind of reset the room a little bit, the topic today is what is the metaverse? We also have recently yesterday we just dropped our bi-weekly recap for anything and everything that has occurred in the crypto verse or the crypto economy. And so go ahead and tap on the pinned tweet above and you can read through our thread to see what's been going on. But today in particular, we're just focusing and defining what is the metaverse and basically seeing and picking everyone's brains on what we see the metaverse will do in our day-to-day lives moving forward. So if you're interested and you want to, you know, speak your part and speak an idea that you see that would occur within the metaverse, please request and I'll bring you on stage. You know, what's pretty cool, I don't know if anyone remembers, but we have a request to come on. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, what's up? You get me?
Loud and clear.
Hey, that's what's up. All right. I think this is a dope conversation and really informative. I don't have too much opinion about the metaverse, but I I know all that's tied together, like a virtual reality and everything like that. And my aunt uses virtual reality a lot, you know, for like working out and stuff. Cause I tried it on. She has like an Oculus Rift, and I put it on. It's crazy. Like she'd be working out in her room. And then, you know, you put the Oculus on and then she's on like some rooftop in California with some dude in shorts and a tank top telling her, you know what I'm saying, to do this, do that. And she said like she can watch TV in it. And I see all the dope things that can come from the metaverse and everything like that. How do you guys feel about, I guess, the balancing between, you know, maintaining your like your real life and being a part of the metaverse and the virtual world? Because you don't want to get left behind also, because, you know, the world is like transitioning more and more into technology and the cryptos, NFTs and metaverse. And they got Decentraland coins and stuff where you can, you know, buy the coins. And then I'm pretty sure that's like a part of like making properties and stuff in the metaverse and stuff like that. How do you guys feel about, you know, with that? Because you said the NFTs you see as like a status thing for some certain people, and I agree with that. But how do you guys feel about, you know, someone trying to have a really luxurious life in the metaverse opposed to like trying to make sure that real world is, I guess, just as luxurious and as comfortable?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think what we have to do is view the metaverse as the physical verse, right? And the way we got to do it is, for instance, right now in the physical world, we have different sectors, right? We have gaming, we have fashion, we have entertainment, right? So those sectors, those respective sectors will migrate over into the metaverse. And now we're going to have a much larger sector economy, right? So for instance, entertainment, right? We're going to see artists, musicians, painters, you name it. They're going to have their own particular market or economy that they could work with. And now they're offered a much larger environment to work with other or collaborate with other artists that they were limited to in the physical world, right? And where we are today. And the reason is why? Well, the reason is because naturally we're limited, right? We're limited with what we can do here in the physical world, like in terms of communication, in terms of physical ability to do certain activities or functionalities and things of that nature. But in the metaverse, that totally gets flipped on its head, right? If you want to release a song or you want to release a movie, a book or whatever, now you could do it instantaneously. You own you own the rights and the properties of that particular object or item. And now you're instantly, I guess, confronted with the capacity to work with others in real time, right? So I think in terms of living a luxurious, quote unquote, luxurious type of lifestyle, I think it just becomes a lot more easier, right? Because you're giving people the opportunity to create more effortlessly in a much larger world.
I actually love that you asked that question, because that's something I always think about. I feel like definitely the metaverse has opened a lot more opportunity. But I think my fear when I think about the concept is the detachment of our physical reality to the virtual reality. Obviously, the metaverse is bridging the gap between these two worlds, these two lives. And I'm sure it's going to open so many doors economically, business-wise. But what's going to happen to our physical selves? Are we going to become more incels in a way? Are we going to become more, you know, like computer geeks, I guess you could say, in a way? Like, are we going to lose touch with our physical and mental state with communicating with people in a personal setting versus only doing it online? I feel like we're always trying to find a new way to bridge the gap, make business better, make everything easier and connect with the world in a better way. But is this going to hinder us in a different sense, I guess, is my concern. But yeah, it's my opinion.
No, I agree with that. I definitely feel like it's kind of already happening to some extent. Like, I definitely see, like, there's a lot of money to be made and a lot of opportunity and benefits from it. There's a lot of benefits. But I feel like, on the other hand, it's like a double-edged sword, because, like, it's amazing. Like, you know, I could jump in the metaverse and be connected with people all across the world, and I can learn from them. They can learn from me. I can interact with them, and they can interact with me, and it's amazing. But then, you know, I feel like with anything, you know, too much of it is a bad thing. Like, with anything, like, you know, I don't know. I didn't fully even read the article, but I know someone already spent a lot of money recently just so they could live next door to Snoop Dogg in the metaverse and have, like, a house next to him inside the metaverse. But, I mean, even though that's still, you know, you look at him, he spent a lot of money. In his mind, I feel like it was a good investment, because it's like, you go to Snoop Dogg's crib in the metaverse, and now he's next door, so you're going to see him every time you go to see Snoop Dogg's house in the metaverse. And that's cool. I feel like if he's selling something, or he has some type of business, or, you know, he's advancing in some way. But I feel like if he just invested all that money just to be next to Snoop Dogg in the metaverse, you know, I would just hope he's investing that much time into and resources and energy into his actual life as well. You know, like, just because, yeah, you know, like, I feel like I said, my aunt has the Oculus, and you can throw it on, and instead of working out, you know, she could just be on her roof in California with a TV in the metaverse, or wherever, you know, wherever she's at in the virtual reality. I know that's different from the metaverse, but I know they go hand to hand. You know, virtual reality is all that's what the metaverse is. You know, so I just feel like, I just hope people are responsible and just, you know, take care of themselves and don't invest all of their resources into the metaverse to the point where they come home and it's just a couch in the house, and they just sit on the couch and then throw the metaverse on their head, throw the Oculus on their head, and now they next to Snoop Dogg. So I just want everybody to be responsible. But I think it is a dope thing that can come from the metaverse. Dope things come from the metaverse, but on the same hand, it could definitely get, there could be a lot of bad that can come from it as well.
For sure. No, that's a great response. So for those who are just joining, just resetting the room again, the topic today is, what is the metaverse? We're just trying to get a good grasp of what exactly is going on, right? This ongoing trend, and how are we adapting to this new environment, or this new nascent environment that's starting to emerge in the crypto economy. On top, you'll see a pinned tweet. That is a thread for the biweekly recap that we have done. If you want to see anything and everything that has occurred in crypto, you can go ahead and tap on that tweet and catch up on all the highlighted tweets that we have provided. So, to Jerry's point, absolutely. I think there needs to be, similar to what we have, a work-life balance, we're going to need to have a life metaverse balance, right? Because I think sooner than later, we're going to start experiencing, same way how we experience Zoom fatigue, we're going to start seeing metaverse fatigue, right? Especially to Shadi's point, we're going to see a lot of people maybe transition into incels or become more, maybe socially awkward is a better way of phrasing it, because they're going to become so accustomed to having this headset on and interacting in this virtual realm, virtual reality, and then lose a sense of the physical interaction that we have today, which, again, it's a give and take type of situation. But again, I kind of want to take a step back and try to define what is really the metaverse, right? And again, a lot of people have a really hard time grasping it in terms of, how can you adopt it into your day-to-day lifestyle? Do we need to adopt it in our day-to-day lifestyle? How will businesses incorporate that into the working experience? Can we continue working remotely but have to attend meetings in the metaverse? You know, similar to, for instance, JP Morgan Chase, a bank, the largest bank in the US, they just bought and built a bank in Decentraland, which is a metaverse environment, right? We're starting to see a lot of partnerships or commercial collaboration being done on Sandbox, right? The Walking Dead, Snoop Dogg, like you mentioned, Jerry, Care Bears, you name it, they're in Sandbox. We're seeing Axie Infinity coming with their GameFi environment and enabling people to earn an income with the play-to-earn model. So all this is kind of merging into one economy. So I'm really excited to see what's happening.
That's amazing. I didn't even know. That's dope information to know. I didn't know that they have a bank built into the metaverse, and I'm sure many brands and big corporations have already brought land into Decentraland or looking to collaborate in the metaverse to get their foot in the door before it becomes like a really huge thing, because I feel like it's happening very fast, and I feel like in a year or however long from now, it's definitely more people are going to be trying to get their businesses in the Decentraland malls and all type of stuff. People walking around in the metaverse seeing, oh, they go McDonald's or whatever. I don't know. Just collaboration.
Well, McDonald's even came out, I believe, last week or earlier this week, one of the two, saying that they're exploring opportunities in the metaverse that will tie both physical and metaversal experiences into one. So a good example is, I think, like 2019 or 2020, or maybe 2021, between those 3 years. Chipotle opened a virtual restaurant in Roblox. And anybody that walked into that Roblox Chipotle restaurant and bought a burrito, they received a QR code. And with that QR code, you could walk into any Chipotle nearby or in another state, what have you, and you could show them that QR code, they scan it, and you get a free burrito. So just keeping that in mind, that is some way that we could utilize the metaverse here in the physical world, and I think that's exactly what we'll use, because they could work in parallel to one another, right? So that's going to be pretty neat to see. I'll pose a question to the room for anybody that wants to hop on stage. Is right now the trend in the NFT market is speculative, right? We're seeing a lot of people just posting new collections in an attempt to maybe make a little bit of money. There's nothing wrong with that, but there seems to be an oversaturation of that market, right? What do you feel NFTs have done to unlock people's potential, and what do you think will happen in the near future with NFT utility?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Basically, what do you think NFTs will do to unlock people's ability here in the physical world as well in the metaverse? And what do you think will happen in the near future with NFTs?
I think it'll have a lot of entrepreneurial minds going, like working like crazy, Even what you said just now about the Chipotle idea, like what Chipotle did with Roblox, like I can see a lot of that happening for a lot of different entrepreneurs and many different businesses and creatives, you know what I'm saying? Like, we already got social distancing to some extent still happening in other places around the world. You could art for like creatives, an artist could do a show and then you buy your ticket as an NFT you have to buy. And then that ticket lets you get into the venue in the metaverse. And now you're having an exclusive show in the metaverse with Kanye West or whoever. No, Kanye didn't like the metaverse, but you get what I'm saying. I can see, people doing what Chipotle did with Roblox. You come buy this shirt. If your metaverse character buys this t-shirt in the store, now you got a code where you can go in real life and get a discount if you buy the shirt online or something like that. Like, I see stuff like that happening a lot with NFTs and people utilizing the metaverse to do more business savvy things in their life, or just get more business opportunities.
I agree. I think it's definitely going to be more business opportunities. I think NFTs, the options are endless. Like, I live in the DC area, and for instance, to hop onto the McDonald's thing, like every time the Wizards win a game, McDonald's has like a free meal or something, like some sort of discount. I can see like they're releasing an NFT every time there's a game that's won, and you can present it. Like you said, you get the QR code and you have like this little NFT to represent, and you get to keep in your wallet and whatnot. I feel like it's a huge business opportunities for companies. And another level also, like, I participated in Hold On DAO for a little bit, and I know that some people are putting their houses, or like creating an NFT for their houses and renting them out, and you can like unlock your home with an NFT. So like, I think the doors are all open, all the options are available, and it's just going to open, it's just going to extend the opportunities that we already have in a different way.
For sure. No, 100% agreed. And I think we're going to continue seeing the experimentation of this kind of real world metaversal experience, right? I guess one thing that I find interesting is kind of touching on the NFT marketplace a little bit, is we're seeing a lot of, how do I say, the older generation, like baby boomers, right? They're heavily against it, or they're skeptical of the NFT use case. And I'll play devil's advocate in saying that I definitely understand where they're coming from, in the sense that a lot of the projects out there are speculative, right? It's all about, to some extent, hype, right? But if we remove that aspect of it, right, and start looking at the real potential use case that NFTs could offer, right, then we unlock a whole new world that will benefit even us in the physical world. For instance, right now, if you were to open your wallet, everybody here, I'm assuming, has a wallet. And if you open your wallet, you have a driver's license or some sort of identification card. If you don't have either of those two, you definitely have a passport, right? So some form of identification on you, right? Now, the question is, what happens if you were to lose your driver's license or your ID card or your passport, right? One, you have no form of identifying yourself besides word of mouth, right? Someone else in the world could say that they're myself, for instance, Jeremy Guzman, right? Or Jerry or Shadi or whoever else is in the audience, right? And there's no one else to argue that besides having that proof, right, of identity, right? What NFTs do to an extent, or what they could do to an extent, is be the solution to that, right? You could get a non-tradable token NFT that has your driver's license embedded in it, right? The code within it. You could get a birth certificate that's in the form of an NFT that's assigned to a wallet that is yours for, you know, the duration of your life, right? To prove that, hey, this is Jeremy or this is Jerry, Shadi, etc. Right, you can never lose it because that is your non-tradable token, your NFT that presents this type of credential, right? And you could even expand on that a little bit more and talk about like degrees, certifications, even in the entertainment world, tickets, flights, you name it. It could be in the form of an NFT, but maybe not non-tradable, right? Because those non-tradable assets will be a little bit more sensitive information, as opposed to buying a movie ticket, right? Or buying a ticket to a concert, similar to, like, for instance, how Travis Scott held a concert in Fortnite, I believe, a year or two ago. What if you were to sell tickets to that? And then that gives those ticket holders now have the opportunity to be a part of this exclusive, group. So whenever Travis Scott comes to their town, they get free tickets, right? Or they get swag or some sort of opportunity, right? So to that end, I definitely think that's where the use case of NFTs should be focused on. That hasn't been touched on yet. And I think once we remove the speculation aspect of it, we'll definitely transition into a more beneficial use of NFTs. But that's my take, at least.
That was dope. I agree with both your points and Shawty's points. I'm thinking, like, you know, it can even be to a point where, like, college students and universities use NFTs for opposed to students having to go buy textbooks online. They can just go purchase the NFT, and that has the textbook for the class, you know, and then they could even trade it off to the next year's worth of students since another student purchases the NFT from them, so they don't have to go buy their own NFT. They can just sell it to the student coming up, or just give it to them however they want to go about it. But yeah, I wouldn't even think about these kind of things. Like, you know, like an author could publish a book and only have it as an NFT. You know, a cook can give a cookbook as an NFT. You know, it's a lot of stuff that we could do with these things. And even the idea of even you having, you saying like having your ID as an NFT, is that's dope. Like, that's really, you know what I'm saying? Your birth certificate hooked up to your crypto wallet. So it's like, all right, this is definitely me. I'm not nobody else. You know what I'm saying? This isn't a fake account. This is me. There's a lot of things we can do with NFTs. It definitely is like a limitless thing that can, is unlimited possibilities that can come from NFTs. Took me a minute to get that out, but y'all know what I'm trying to say.
No, I definitely understood 100%, and you make a really good point. I'm going to extend this and invite anybody that's in the audience. If you guys would like to hop on stage and join the conversation, please do so. Please send a request, and I'll bring you on here on stage so you can join us. But yeah, to Jerry's point, for sure, you know, and I don't even think that we've tapped the potential of what NFTs could do, you know, outside of allowing... One benefit that NFTs has definitely shown is it could benefit artists and musicians and entertainers. That's for sure. And that's great, but now we haven't extended past that, right? And I think once we do, that will definitely make this whole metaverse conversation a lot more interesting, because now all you really need is an internet connection, and you're unlocking yourself with a whole new economy that you could create a business, right? We're looking at DAOs, right? So you could make a DAO that will represent your business and have your colleagues or whoever that is participating in this business in the metaverse. You could have a storefront, quote unquote, a virtual brick and mortar, right, on Decentraland or Sandbox or whatever other network or platform that comes along, right? So there's a whole untapped world that we haven't even looked into yet that I'm personally excited about outside of this whole speculative market, and it's going to be really interesting, and I think we're going to see that in 2022. At least that's my opinion as of now.
You know, I love the concept of, you know, getting your degree as an NFT, or, you know, your birth certificate now becoming an NFT, or your license, your passport, and other things like that. But I guess the question is, like, how long is it going to take for governments to adopt this idea? How long is it going to take for this to be a global opportunity for us to have, like, free access to go abroad with my passport NFT, you know? Do you really think it's going to happen in 1 year, 5 years? how fast is this idea growing, and how are we going to mitigate that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think, well, it's already happening, right? So if we were to go look in Estonia, right, they don't even, a lot of Estonian citizens or residents, they don't have a physical ID card. They have this virtual identification. Well, they have an identification number similar to how we use our public key, right? Our address. And that is how they identify themselves. Instead of us here in the US, for instance, we use our social security number for everything. It wasn't meant to be used as an identification number, but we use it as an identification number, which then ties it to whatever debt we have, et cetera, right? But in Estonia, one, they run, almost the entire country runs on blockchain, right? All of their all their campaigns, right, their political campaigns, votes and whatnot, occurs on the blockchain. They allow their citizens to vote virtually, or well, digitally, right? So the way that, to answer your question, how will governments adopt it, they are already pursuing that, or at least some countries have embedded that into their day-to-day political structure, right, or government structure. Now, the question is when will, I would say, the developed countries, right, quote-unquote developed countries, integrate that into the architecture, right? So that's the mention, for instance, of the United States, the EU as a whole, Asia, China is the primary market, right? And we're seeing China start experimenting, of course, with the CBDC and digital and their own digital currency, right? So all of this in some fashion is tied with this tokenization, well, this tokenized economy, right? And the faster governments get a grip or get a hold of how they could utilize this to improve or at least benefit the livelihoods of their citizens, then that is when we'll definitely see a faster adoption process, a faster mass adoption process on a grander scale. But to answer your question, I would like to say optimistically we'll see it in the next 5 years, but we're definitely going to see a major change within the decade, right? Similar to how we saw the acknowledgement of cryptocurrencies, even Bitcoin, for instance, as legal tender or as a method of payment or even as money, right, is the same way that we'll start seeing NFTs and the metaverse being equally accepted or recognized as an environment in which people could interact with and even further extend economic practice within. So, yeah, it's really hard to say, but I think we're on the right track. It's all about just government bodies experimenting and seeing if it works with their people.
That was a great question.
Yeah, I see a couple of new faces here in the audience, so I'll extend the invitation. Whoever would like to join the stage and speak about the metaverse, NFTs, where we're going in this new digital economy, please request to speak, and I'll bring you on stage. But again, thank you all for joining right now. I think this conversation is going a lot better than I anticipated, but I appreciate everybody being here, so it's been a good conversation.
I was just thinking too, the possibilities with the metaverse, that a lot of different I see a lot of entertainment capabilities, like Rick and Morty is a really great popular show. They have like interactive series on Netflix sometimes where, you know, you can watch a show and then you can choose what the character does while you're watching it. Same way they do with like interactive books and stuff like that. I think it would be super dope for certain series and different shows that we like to do like an interactive metaverse experience where these corporations could do like, okay, you love Rick and Morty, come and buy this NFT to get this interactive adventure experience where you're traveling on an adventure of Rick and Morty, and then you just choose which direction to go on, like the same way they would an interactive show, but it'll be more like an interactive experience. Like you could go through and just be in the actual show that you love to watch. I think that would be super dope and a really great way for the metaverse to get a lot of attention from people who are not so curious to know what it is about, but that would be a fun way to get more people into the metaverse and a lot of things. A lot of companies and creative organizations could really utilize that to get a lot of praise and attachment to their NFTs that they would drop, you know what I'm saying, and make it dope for people in the metaverse to really have an experience that they love with the shows that they love to watch and, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. I think that'd be dope.
Yeah, and I definitely see that happening, you know. I think once Netflix, Hulu, I mean, Disney even just announced that they're exploring the metaverse, or at least some way, shape, or form, including the metaverse within their extremely large catalog, right? Or portfolio, I should say. I think once studios start learning how they could incorporate this dynamic in with their content, we're definitely in store for a whole new world, right? And it's exactly how what you mentioned is making more interactive, right? Imagine, I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with Blue's Clues, right? Or even Winnie the Pooh, right? Or watch one of the two as we were growing up, right? Now, or even Dora, right? Here's a good example, right? I'm sure if everyone remembers when in Dora, when the map opened up and asked us as the viewer, as kids, can you point out the X, right? Or the house, right? Now, imagine if you could actually interact with map in Dora, right? You have that immersive experience. You have that interaction, right? And then in the sense of having an NFT or some sort of badge, right? As a kid, let's say you earn a badge for participating in the day's episode, right? As a kid, you'll be stoked. You'll be like, wow, this is incredible, you know? So I think to your point, Jerry, we're going to start seeing a lot more of that happening. It's all about experimentation and further iteration on how they could improve that experience. But yeah, that's a really good point. And I think we're going to see that in the near future.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially with like, oh, my fault. You say something, Charlie, you got it.
You're good. I was just going to say real quick, I just thought that was a very interesting example that you gave, especially thinking about how kids are these days. They're nothing like how our generation grew up. They all have an iPad. They all have access to YouTube and games and Netflix and all these things. I can only imagine like kids at such a young age being able to tap into metaverse, like, you know, rated PG sort of, and being able to get an NFT or get a little badge because of the whatever show they're watching, like Paw Patrol, for example, or something like that. You know, I just thought that was so interesting, and I never even thought about how that could help the younger generations. So I thought that was neat.
Yeah, that's dope too. Like thinking about our kids these days, like my nephews and nieces and little cousins, they love, you know what I'm saying, to be on their iPad and stuff like that. You know, I'm not how familiar everyone is with like Telltale Games. They're like a company, Telltale, I think that's how you say it. And it's a series of games that they release. They do a lot of different collaborations, like with like Walking Dead, Batman, and a few others. And it's basically you go about the game and you just, the story changes because everyone plays the game differently. They have different choices and decisions to make throughout the game. And it's a really interactive game where you just go through a story and you kind of write the story yourself. I think that would be like if Telltale did some metaverse experiences and they already have like VR gaming and stuff. I think gaming would be really dope in the metaverse and how they can incorporate NFTs as games and downloadable content and different experiences within gaming and stuff like that. But I think along with that, we'll also need like some balance with it, because I mean, it's always been a problem regulating what games kids are playing or what kids are getting into on the web already. Like, you know, with Google, it's so easy to Google whatever you want to watch, or, you know, with phones in our hand and you know, the internet is easy to get into anything, and we don't have eyes on our younger siblings and cousins and children as much as we had before, you know what I'm saying? Especially now with them just having the phone in their hands. So I feel like as we transition more into that, it would definitely have to be some sort of understanding to be had, or I should be some informational classes or something, some information given to children or people navigating the metaverse. The same way they would on the internet, you know what I'm saying? Like, just be careful, don't get into these certain things, stuff like that, because you know, they're the ones with the headset on. It's kind of hard to dictate what someone's doing, you know, in the metaverse by themselves, because they're in the metaverse. They're in a whole other different place, you know what I'm saying, when you're operating in the real world. So I see a lot of benefits from it. There's definitely would have to be some sort of, I guess, education to be have had to with people and how to responsibly use it, and to not get into stuff they shouldn't be getting into. Like, if you're expecting your kid to be watching the new episode of Dora that came out in the metaverse, and to be with her while we looking out for Swiper, and then that episode's over and now they still got it on, and then whoever comes across, you know, it's just got to be some, I feel like there should be some education and regulation that goes along with navigating the metaverse for different age groups and their reasons for being in the metaverse.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because now with the metaverse, anybody could access it, right? You put on that headset and you're in a totally different world. Like you mentioned, your aunt, she's in California, or even more so, they could be on the moon, right? Or even a newly created world, right? And people could, you know, they could lose track of time, or just as a kid, you just get so lost. And yeah, so I definitely agree that there's some sort of, I would say, a framework, right, or a structure. I agree. But again, to reset the room, the topic for this Friday is, what is the metaverse? We're talking about basically anything and everything that has to do with the metaverse, defining what is the metaverse, how can you use your NFTs, or what use case will NFTs offer in the near to late future. And I think the conversation has been really insightful. I mean, we went from defining what NFTs are to the current use case of NFTs, how it improves and empowers artists and entertainers alike to really showcase their art or showcase their product, and really expanding their audience, to how it could potentially extend to being used as a form of identification, to a form of ticketing or rebranding of one's business of some fashion, to how TV studios and how shows and movies can provide us with a more interactive experience, and even allow us to become a part of the development process of some of these episodes or some of these movies and shows, right? So really, really cool ideas all around. So thank you, Jerry and Shadi, for joining the stage. And I extend, again, the invitation to anybody that's been listening. If you want to join the conversation, please feel free to send a request, and I'll bring you on stage so you can speak your piece. So with that said, I'm really curious. One thing that's been really on my mind lately is, what role will fintech companies, or how will businesses play a role in the metaverse, right? As we mentioned before, McDonald's is exploring, Disney is exploring the metaverse, JP Morgan Chase is already in Decentraland, right? Will we see an extension of, I think Disney's a good example since they have Disney World and Disneyland, right? Will we see a similar theme park or similar experience in the metaverse, right? I don't think that's too far-fetched to say, to make it even more immersive, so you could go hang out with your favorite movie characters or favorite Disney princess or whatever. And to Jerry's point, you could send your kid to this virtual world, and they could play with these characters, or be a part of a movie set or whatever. I think we're going to see a separation or a segmentation, I should put it, in how the metaverse will be utilized to bring in these new experiences or new opportunities, whether it's in fintech, in general business or entertainment, or even travel, right? There's really a lot of ways that we could go with it. So I'm curious to hear what everyone here thinks.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's going to be really near in the near future. Like, I can imagine people going to Disney and, like, you know how on Facebook you can say, like, I'm checking into this certain location. You could probably go in the metaverse and be like, I'm checking in, like, the Princess Castle or whatever ride, you know, and or you virtually get to go there on the metaverse and play games and whatnot. I think the options are endless, and it's gonna help those businesses thrive and provide more commercial content for them as well. I think that's a cool example.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's far-fetched either. I feel like, you know, you say we got Disneyland, Disney World, then, you know, you can just come to Disney, whatever, in the metaverse, and then you're going to be over here. You can go to the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, or, like, there'll be more interaction with the actual characters, I guess, in the metaverse, because they can bring whatever into the metaverse, you know? They can have a Disney Princess Land, and all the girls, the little kids want to go to Disney Princess Land and then go be with, they can actually go and watch the story, all their favorite movies and stories happening in front of them, and walk along in the forest or go see Shrek or whatever. But Shrek is Disney. It doesn't matter, you know what I'm saying? But you could be with Shrek in the metaverse too. You know what I'm saying? I feel like there's a lot of dope things that can come from being along the metaverse. You know, I know I personally like anime and stuff like that. I can see the
Jerry, I think we lost you.
To hop on what he was saying, because I don't know what happened, but for the anime concept, I think it'd be really cool if Comic-Con or like the anime conferences and stuff like that are done on the metaverse as well. Because I know it's kind of hard to get to those conferences sometimes and they're expensive. I can only imagine how awesome it would be to do it on the metaverse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it's, again, there's a lot of routes that could be taken. And I mean, soon enough, we're going to see a lot of these entertainment companies adapt or actually adopt new ways of doing so. With that said, I would like to quickly transition, because we are about 8 minutes. We have about 8 minutes left in this room. So just shared here in the call, one of our director of marketing, Drayson, will be hosting an entertainment event over on Decentraland. Within that tweet that I just pinned above, you can RSVP and join us. We'll be partying, we'll be jamming, we'll be talking about anything and everything that has to do with the metaverse, the NFTs, crypto, you name it. You could just tag along and join us, or this is actually a great transition to actually experience the metaverse firsthand, right? Shout out innkeeper.eth for helping us host this party today. I'm really stoked to have everybody join. So again, we'll be having that right after this call. But to kind of bring it back into the room, Shadow, you bring a really good point. Soon enough, we're going to see Comic-Con, we're going to see concerts, we're going to see, you name it, even Sundance, the movie festival. I would not be surprised if we see that more widely accepted and used to bring in a wider audience. Let's see here. I saw somebody just requested to speak. Well, if you'd like to speak, please feel free to request. But with that said, we have about 6 minutes left in the room. So again, if anybody would like to hop on stage and talk and about the metaverse, NFTs, your experience in crypto, maybe even Web3, we didn't really have much time to discuss about Web3, and that's a totally different conversation. So maybe we could tackle that in our next recap Twitter space. But we'll be winding down the room in the next 5 minutes. So, yeah, thank you all for joining. Also, within the pinned tweet that we have the RSVP link. So whoever is interested in joining us in the party in the next 5 minutes, all you got to do is just tap on that link. It's going to take you to the RSVP page, and then you'll be sent to the Central Land, and then you get to groove with us in the metaverse. So I'll see you there, and we'll be closing the room now. So thank you all for joining.
This was another episode of Ben.
Blockchain Education Network.
Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Also, keep up with us on Twitter and Instagram @blockchainedu. And visit our YouTube channel for more valuable blockchain content.